Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap territory. And it's a delight to have you with us on this day, wherever you might be. And on behalf of Sam Rohr and Dave Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And again, we want to welcome all of our new radio stations in Texas and Oklahoma and New Mexico with the Kingdom Keys Network. It's a delight to have you folks with us. And of course, we may be having some other news stations on with us in the near future. In fact, we know we will be. And we would encourage you to continue to pray for us as the American Pastors Network Stand in the Gap Today radio ministry continues to grow. We ask you to pray for us. We ask you to spread the word about us because we are here 5 days a week at this same time on this same radio station talking about the issues from the biblical and the constitutional perspective. And obviously, we encourage you to stay tuned as much as you can and even go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com. And there you can learn about this particular program as well as the other two programs that we produce here at APN. And you'll even get to see some of the information about the background of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr and myself. So we would encourage you to go there. At the second segment of the program today, we're going to have Anna Harmon with us again. And, of course, we've had her in the past, and you might remember that she is the attorney for the Kleins out in Oregon and the Bakers, remember them? And so she's going to be giving us an update on what is going on out there with the situation. That's sort of been dead recently, hasn't it, Sam? I haven't heard much about that at all.
Well, see, that's really why we want to have Anna back with us. Obviously, folks who are listening know that we had the Kleins on with us, and then Anna, who is doing the representation for them, was with us talking about the legal things. But I've heard from many listeners, frankly, folks who have called and said, you know what, have you heard? What's the resolve? What's happening? I said, tell you the truth, I haven't even heard. And, you know, it was in the news. It was big news for a few days. And then I think everything else, Iran deal and so forth, and the presidential have just overwhelmed it. It's not even come back up. So we're wanting to have her back on to see what has actually taken place for a lot of different reasons. So I'm looking forward to having her on here in the second segment.
So you'll want to stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. But before we get to Anna, we want to remind you that this evening will be the presidential debate. And, of course, this is going to be very, very interesting. The top tier of the debate, that is the 10 individuals who have the highest ratings, will be on at 9 o'clock tonight on, that is, Eastern Time on the Fox News Network. And then the JV group, that's probably, they probably wouldn't like being called that, would they, Dave?
Is the president on that team?
Well, he's on the bench.
He's actually on the opposition side, isn't he? Yeah.
But at 5 o'clock this afternoon, what is it? I guess seven. There would be seven or eight who are not a part of the top ten will also be having a forum. And you know what? Many people are thinking that might be more informative than the one at 9 o'clock, Dave.
Well, you know, Gary, it very well may be. There's going to be some substantive people in that early, you know, second-tier debate that occurs first at 5 o'clock. So, yeah, it could be very, very interesting. What I think everybody's looking forward to at the 9 o'clock hour is the fireworks that may come up with Donald Trump, because who knows what he's going to say or do. But it's going to be interesting, and I do want to echo what you've said, Gary. We want to encourage our listeners to pay attention to that debate and go into it praying that that we will see a candidate emerge that honors God, that has a sense of justice, divine justice, and God's justice, biblical justice, and then we can get a president who, with the help of the Lord, can turn around some of these things that have been going on in our country for the last almost 8 years.
It's interesting to see, to anticipate what's going to take place, as you said. And, you know, a couple of times I've heard Donald Trump say that he's not going to attack, but if he's attacked, he'll respond.
Well, that's the deal, Gary. Trump doesn't take criticism too well. And, you know, part of the reason he doesn't is, you know, he's been very successful. And when people critique him and criticize him in an area about which they have very little expertise, Donald tends to come out of his cage. And so I think what people are going to try to do is try to uncork him tonight, get him to say something, you know, do something. But, you know, he's a savvy guy. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
And Gary and Dave, you know, even Megyn Kelly here from Fox, I mean, I think that plays right into what you're talking about, Gary. Fox, the interviewers are all anticipating the same thing. And they, I think one statement they've made is that they're saying that they're trying to plan how to deal with this thing because it says, quote, but among the vast number of candidates hoping to shine Thursday, one, quote, is particularly unpredictable, end quote. And that is Trump, and that's what they're talking about. And so as Kelly told Politico News, she said, we have a plan, but we're not going to share it with you yet. So all that, they're just trying to set the stage for something that they have probably relative to the rules of engagement that they're going to try and lay down on him. But he's the one that they fear the most because generally the press does not win when they engage him, but under the structure, they want to make sure that he does not overstep the rules. So that's part of what my anticipation is well for tonight.
Sam, don't you think that there is a real danger in that? Don't you think that if they do something to challenge Donald, he could come out of this smelling like a rose? I mean, the American people could greatly appreciate the way he responds, Gary, to even the media as they ask the questions.
That happens all the time. That's one of the reasons why his ratings continue
exactly
to go
right.
up.
Exactly right.
He tells it like it is and the way that he feels. You know, I heard them say this morning on Fox News, one of their concerns is how to keep time. And so they're probably going to – they're considering using the buzzer, you know, on the scoreboard in that particular arena. No little doorbell, or somebody suggested a cowbell, but they're going to use the – talking about using the buzzer, you know.
Jumbotron. Yeah, the Jumbotron. That'll be interesting. All the more reason to tune in, friends.
Sam, do you think that tomorrow this time we're going to see the poll standings change?
Well, the poll standings have been changing every day. So, Gary, you'd be safe to say, yes, they're going to change more tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But again, it all bases a lot off of really how these individuals respond. And again, 10 candidates in this kind of a forum probably means at the maximum they will have about maybe 7 minutes of actual talk time. It's not very much. The opportunity, as we've been saying for a long time, I think we're probably going to find far more and be impressed far more with personality than we are substance of content, because they're just simply not going to have that much time to go into that much content. So I'm looking for other things to develop. I'm actually looking for an interplay between Trump and Cruz, frankly, because I see some things developing there, which I think is of great interest. And so it'll be interesting to see. I'm looking at those two primarily when we go into this thing tonight.
Well, that'll be something to watch there as well, you know, the Trump and the Cruz development. But, you know, it's just going to be exciting, informative, but as Brother Dave said, go into it with a lot of prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Well, when we come back, we're going to have Anna Hardman on with us and giving us an update with what's going on with the Kleins out in Oregon. So you won't want to go far from your radio. Go out and get a nice tea and come back and join us right after these messages. This is Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500. Or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc. Member FINRA and SIPC.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Camelot and King Arthur's Court, Knights of the Round Table, and the quest for the Holy Grail. Our imagination soar with history and legend immortalized by poet Alfred Lord Tennyson, who was born this day, August 6, 1809. The son of a clergyman, he not only brought to life Guinevere and Sir Lancelot, but wrote The Charge of the Light Brigade, recording the courage of the British cavalry as they rode to their deaths fighting the Russians. Honored by Queen Victoria as poet laureate, Alfred Lord Tennyson wrote, "Cast all your cares on God, that anchor holds."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today, coming to you on this Thursday, and we trust that wherever you are enjoying the blessing of the Lord and that you are living for His honor and glory. If you happen to be a part of the fellowship of people who are listening on the Kingdom Keys Network in Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico, we welcome you. If you are a first-time listener, we are on this radio station at this same time every day. This is a ministry of the American Pastors Network, and Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr and I constantly deal with issues as it relates to the Word of God and our Constitution, and it's the intent to strengthen our nation morally, biblically, and constitutionally. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was, I'm not exactly sure how far back, not all that far, we had the opportunity of having the Kleins with us from Oregon. They are the ones who got in trouble because they would not make a birthday, a wedding cake for a same-sex wedding. And, of course, we talked to them about that. And then, of course, after that, we had the their attorney, who happens to be Anna Harmon. And Dave, why don't you just take it from here?
Well, Gary, thank you so much. Yes, a number of weeks back, we had the Kleins on. What a delightful couple. What a wonderful interview. And then just within a few days after that, we had Anna, who is one of their lead attorneys. And today we've got Anna back for a little bit of an update of what's going on, not only in the life of the Kleins, but also what's going on from a legal perspective out in the state of Oregon, where all of this may ultimately go. So, Anna, great to have you aboard again today.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's a delight to have you. Let me just ask you a couple of questions. You know, since you were on and since there was all of this response that took place right after the Kleins were fined this $135,000 by a gentleman named Brad Avakian, who is the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industry, BOLI, there in the state of Oregon. There was a big furor about all of that. A lot of it was in the news. But with this Iranian nuclear deal and several other things, the presidential elections, the debate upcoming tonight, all of that has kind of pushed the Kleins situation as far as being on the front page. It's pushed it to the back page, or maybe off the pages of the paper altogether. Anna, give us a little bit of an update of what is going on, maybe from the legal side, and then if you could talk a little bit about what's going on actually in the life of the Kleins, how their business is doing, and things of that nature.
Sure. So from a legal perspective, things are moving right along. Shortly after we talked a couple of weeks ago, we filed what's called a notice of appeal, and that kicks off the appeal process here in Oregon. So that's been filed, and right now we're in the process of just kind of waiting for the normal appeal schedule to start. We also filed a motion to stay the final order and enforcement of the $135,000 judgment, and basically that is just the Oregon law requires that that allows that for BOLI to be able to immediately begin collecting that $135,000 damages award, but we can request that BOLI stay that process or wait to collect during the pendency of the appeal. So we've asked BOLI to stay that process during the pendency of the appeal. And BOLI has said they will not stay that process, but we're working with them right now to put that on hold still in a different way. And that's, I don't want to say too much about that because it hasn't really been resolved yet. But once it's resolved, I'll be able to say more. So we're still kind of in process on how the collection's going to work, if it's going to be stayed or if it's going to continue through the appeal. And then secondarily, or primarily actually, we're getting ready to start writing briefs. And the way that works is we'll write what's called an opening brief, and it'll lay out all of the reasons we think the decision was wrong below. And of course, I'm sure your listeners are astute enough to know that on appeal, the Court of Appeals doesn't rehear the case. They don't take testimony. They don't question witnesses. They don't receive any new evidence. Basically, they just look at the record from below. So we don't have another chance at a jury trial or anything like that. All we can do is say that here are the places in the record where BOLI got it wrong, and those are called assignments of error. So we'll be putting forward assignments of error, and the court will consider those just like a normal appellate court would do.
Okay, great, great explanation, Anna. Thank you. Let me ask you this just about the Kleins, and then I know Gary and Sam have some questions they'd like to ask. How are the Kleins doing? I know we talked briefly last time about where they were with their business. I know they've kind of moved their business, I guess, into their home. Are they still in some form of business, and how are they doing? You know, maybe even if you can share a few things without being too personal, how are they doing just personally?
Yeah, so as far as their business goes, you're correct. They shut down their storefront almost 2 years ago, so they have not been in business as you would think about being in business for a couple of years now. Like I explained before, they were boycotted by some activists in the area who opposed what they were standing for, and they lost basically all of their referrals. So right now, the business, quote-unquote business that they're doing is really not a business at all. Melissa is just doing cakes for friends and family through word of mouth. So there's, you know, they're not taking orders from the public, really. They're not doing anything that looks anything like what they were doing in the past as a business. As far as personally how they're doing, I think as many Americans are, but probably they feel it most keenly, they're just frustrated at the process. They're tired of their First Amendment rights, their due process rights being trampled. But I think I can speak for both of them when I say they're still really committed to standing up for freedom, and they're not planning on giving up this fight anytime soon. So I think this has been going on since January of 2013. So we're actually nearing year three at this point. So we're, you know, they've been in it for a long time. It's getting arduous. And that's a lot of times what these processes are like. So they're getting frustrated at it. But I think they're encouraged by the American people who have contacted them from all over the country and really all over the world and said, hey, listen, we think that what you're standing for is really important, and that, you know, we stand with you. And that is helpful to them.
Are people still contacting them? You know, sometimes, Anna, after a situation like that, they contact them and they're standing with them for a period of time, but then they fall off and fall away. So, you know, are people still constantly contacting them, encouraging them and praying for them? Do you know?
You know, I think it goes in waves. Like when it's in the media, it's more public, and so people remember to contact them. But I do still think they get regular contact from people on both sides of the issue, really. I mean, if we're going to be fair about it, they get mail or correspondence from people who both agree and disagree with them. And through this process, they've gotten a lot of really, you know, horrible death threats and things like that as well. But it's both. And, yeah, so it's, I think it has been kind of a steady stream, but, of course, when, you know, it goes in waves.
Sam?
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Great to be with us. And that's part of the reason why we wanted to have you back on, just to refresh all of this in our listeners' ears. Just one thing from a legal perspective, though. This obviously is Oregon. That's where you're involved. That's what you updated us on. Have you seen anything about this case or whatever? Has anything else been showing up across the country of a similar nature? What are the implications of this coming out, or are you involved in doing anything on a level pathway, for instance, that would head back up to the Supreme Court, or is this going to remain here in before the Oregon bar?
Sure. So to answer your first question, have I seen anything around the country? Yes, I have. The one that comes immediately to mind is Hands-On Originals, and that's in Kentucky and with Blaine Adamson. I don't know if you're familiar with that case, but that is a case where a homosexual individual came into Blaine's T-shirt printing shop, asked for some T-shirts to be printed up for a gay pride parade, and Blaine said, I'm sorry, we're not going to print T-shirts for that kind of event because we don't, he's a Christian, he's a devoted Christian, he said we don't want to support that kind of event. He was sued in the same sort of way Aaron and Melissa are in an administrative court. That, in Kentucky, they had the opportunity after the administrative court ruled to go to a district court before they went to an appeals court. So they actually had a real judge review their case, and that judge sided with Hands-On Originals and Blaine Adamson and said, absolutely, you have a First Amendment right to say, no, we don't participate in this event because what he was doing was artwork. So that, you know, to answer your question about is there anything else good going on or anything else going on in around the country, yes, we're encouraged by that because we think at least there's one judge who's making correct and constitutional decisions based on the facts and the law.
Go ahead and answer that question, please. Will it go further to the Supreme Court?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So the way that it works is it'll have to go through the entire Oregon Court of Appeals process, which our case is currently in the Oregon Court of Appeals, and then after that it'll go to the Oregon Supreme Court. After that, if it goes further, it will be the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Anna Harmon, who, of course, is the attorney for the Kleins out in Oregon. And we're going to continue to speak with her during the next segment. So we invite you to stay tuned. There's more information we want you to learn and to hear. So don't go too far away from the radio. You're listening to Stand in the Gap today from the American Pastors Network. We will be back right after these messages.
On the next episode of Recipes for Disaster.
I'm making beef sliders for my friend Sandy. Nana taught me to always pull meat off the grill early, so it's extra juicy.
Use a food thermometer to ensure ground beef is 160 degrees, or you could make people really sick. Sandy didn't think twice about the slider she ate until yoga class, when a nasty case of food poisoning turned her downward-facing dog into upward-moving lunch. Watch Recipes for Disaster at foodsafety.gov and learn the steps Maria unwittingly leaves out. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Republican presidential candidates looking to make a good impression at the first debates of the campaign. The Fox News Facebook debates are at 5 and 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Fox News Channel and Fox News Radio. Meantime, the Democrats have announced their own debate schedule. There will be six of them starting October 13th in Nevada, then four debates planned for early primary states before the Iowa caucuses on February 1st. Pennsylvania's top prosecutor has been charged with violating grand jury secrecy laws and lying under oath. Grand jury recommended charges in December, and now State Attorney General Kathleen Kane is charged with leaking information from an investigation in what witnesses say was an attempt to embarrass critics. Police in Shreveport, Louisiana are looking for Grover Cleveland. He's accused of killing an officer responding to a call about a suspicious person. Shreveport's Police Chief Willie Shaw says Officer Thomas LaValle will never be forgotten. Fox News. Report.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Where to be found? Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Not packed. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. On behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl. And again, for those of you joining us on our new radio stations that, of course, just come on this week as a part of our network, we thank you for being there and encourage you to go to our website. It's Stand in the Gap Radio, just one word, www.standinthegapradio.com. Learn more about this program, the other programs that we produce on APN, as well as your hosts, Dave and Sam and myself. And, of course, at that particular website, there is the opportunity for you to even correspond with us. So I would encourage you to do that. We have on with us today Anna Harmon, and she's going to be with us throughout this next segment as she is representing the Kleins out in Oregon, who, of course, have taken a stand and basically said that they would not bake a cake through their bakery for a couple who wanted to have a same-sex wedding. And, of course, we stand with the Kleins on that. And Anna, of course, herself is a born-again Christian. Isn't that true, Anna?
That's correct.
And so, you know, not only do the Kleins have a good, solid attorney there as a part of that team, but the one who knows the Lord and loves the Lord. Anna, one of the questions that comes to my mind, and that is, what can other businesses across the nation do to prevent this kind of a thing happening to them? I mean, are there certain guidelines that businesses should put into place? I know I serve as a pastor of a church, and there are guidelines that we have put into place to try to protect us legally from a couple coming into the church and who, of course, are two lesbians or two homosexuals and want to be married by me or one of our pastors associated with the church, whatever the case may be. Are there guidelines that businesses can use to protect them from having to go through this kind of a thing in the future?
Well, that's a question everyone's asking right now, and it's a question that we don't have a really solid answer for right now. Because the things that are in place to protect us are the Constitution, the First Amendment. These are supposed to be our big protectors. So, and what Aaron and Melissa did was actually in line with the way the state of Oregon's law was written at the time. Of course, at the time this happened, Oregon law did not recognize same-sex marriage. So if these same exact women had gone into any county office in the state of Oregon and asked for a marriage license, the county would have said exactly the same thing Aaron and Melissa did. I'm sorry, we don't do same-sex weddings. So it's difficult to pinpoint what exactly can a business do to avoid prosecution on something like this, because it seems like the state is kind of putting aside really important parts of the law. For instance, in this case, the actual law that the state is claiming that Aaron and Melissa broke says that it's illegal to refuse service or to change the way you treat a person on the basis of their sexual orientation. And, of course, that's not what happened. Aaron and Melissa had served these exact people before, and they didn't refuse them service on the basis of their sexual orientation or for any other reason like that. It had nothing to do with the people. It had everything to do with the particular event. So, my advice to businesses like that is you have to come up with your own ideas of, you know, how you're going to run your business, and are there particularized guidelines that, you know, we could maybe talk to, you know, businesses in Oregon who are in different trades and give some particularized ideas? Yeah, but as far as general stuff, it's really hard for me to say, do this or do this, and you'll be free to avoid any prosecution, because as we know, one of the purposes of the statute here in Oregon that Aaron and Melissa are being prosecuted under is, by the text of the statute, the purpose is to eliminate attitudes. Mm. So the state is going after, you know, the state is just going after people in what we would consider a lawless fashion, that it's hard to formulate ways around lawlessness.
You know, and one of the things you just said, I think that's so important that our listeners understand, is part of the statements that have been made relative to the Kleins is that there is an attempt being made here with this fine and the other things that are being done to them to rehabilitate the Kleins as if they are suffering from some kind of illness, a mental illness, which, of course, they are not. They're just standing beside their firmly held religious beliefs. And according, as you so eloquently said, according to the Constitution and the First Amendment of the Constitution, we have every right to do that. Let me ask you, Anna, if you would here, and just for the next couple of minutes before we have to let you go, if you would take off your attorney hat and put on your friend hat, and I know you've become very close with the clients, is there something that you could share with us and with our listening audience that we can do, that the American public can do, to further show support to this incredibly courageous couple that are now 3 years, maybe 3 years plus, into an incredible ordeal that no one would want to go through, and that we would not want to wish on anyone? What can we do to show support to this wonderful Christian couple?
You know, that's a great question, and I think I know Aaron and Melissa well enough to be able to say that this is truly what they would say in answer to this question. What would encourage them the most, and what they the most hope comes out of this, is that people would rise up and vote. I think what you could do for Aaron and Melissa to show them, you know, to show encouragement and to show support, is to understand the place we are right now in our country. And Aaron and Melissa both have a real palpable burden for the state of our country right now, and the state, the apathetic nature of Christians right now in our country, and just in general, the apathetic nature of the voting public. And in their case particularly, their, you know, the person who made the final decision in their case was an elected official. All of the, you know, the reason they went through this whole process instead of going into an actual court and having an actual legal process is because the elected officials of the state of Oregon voted the, you know, sub-court process into law. And if Christians, if voters in Oregon and voters around the country took their heads out of the sand and started paying attention to what's going on in our country, and not just, you know, looking in their own little world,
You know, Anna, that's an amazing statement you've made, and I hope our listeners, in fact, I know they are. We have the greatest listeners anywhere in the United States and around the world. Friends, I hope you heard what Anna just said. It's important that you lift your head up out of the sand, pay attention to what's going on around you, and get involved in the process. Anna, I know we've got to let you go, but Sam Rohr has one important question that has to do with the Internal Revenue Service. Let me go to Sam. Sam, go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, Anna, I'm going to ask you to put back on now your professional hat, okay? After you just take off
your
personal
Sam,
hat.
Confuser.
She won't be confused. But what I'd like to ask you this, back on Monday, not back, just Monday this week, the commissioner from the IRS, John Koskinen, really gave testimony before the Senate Judiciary Oversight Committee. And in that committee, he made a very clear statement. He said to the committee, "I promise you that the IRS will not take action to remove religious schools tax exemption." Now, this comes out of the Supreme Court ruling, and we're talking about businesses in the case of the Kleins, and down here, hands-on, the business in tech in Kentucky. But and mm-hmm. Gary asked from his perspective as a church, but Christian schools and colleges in particular with tax exemption was something that was talked about during the presentation for the court. IRS commissioner says, we will not go after this. My question to you is he to be believed? And what is he not saying in that comment?
Well, first of all, churches are, as a matter of law, tax exempt. So there are many people of the opinion that it doesn't really matter what the IRS does. A church is going to be tax exempt no matter what, because the, you know, religious organizations, churches, are by their nature tax exempt. They don't need approval from the IRS in order to remain tax exempt.
Right.
So that's a complicated issue that we don't have time to talk about. Whether the IRS, you know, whether this particular person who promises that the IRS won't go after religious organizations is to be believed or not, I don't know. it's just one person. I mean, it's just one person's word. And, you know, I don't think we ought to run around, you know, like Chicken Little, yelling, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. But mm-hmm. I do think that there's important measures that churches and religious institutions can take to set up for what's an inevitable battle that's coming and, you know, to prepare.
Anna, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today in the program. And, of course, you always give us great information. And perhaps, if you don't mind, from time to time, we might invite you back again to give us an update as to what's going on out there, as well as with other circumstances across the country. Thank you. God bless you. Keep up the good work, Anna.
Thank you.
And, ladies and gentlemen, we want to encourage you to pray for her and the clients as they go forth with this particular case. We are going to take a break, and we will be back with more Stand in the Gap today right after this from the American Pastors Network.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
Young Winston struggled in school. He failed the entrance exam twice before entering Britain's military academy. His early success in politics gave way to midlife failure. And in the mind of the public, his career was ended. Of course, we all know Winston Churchill went on to become England's Prime Minister during World War II. But did you know that, after the war, voters tossed him out of office, despite his wartime leadership and popularity? This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Churchill's career reminds us that early failure cannot predict future success. Neither can present success guarantee the future. The best thing, the only thing, is to do your best, be your best in each moment in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
There's a large group of Christians who walk the streets every night, preaching the Word of God. Thank you for your books. Your ministry is a huge blessing to ours. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord.
Hello, this is Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. Reading the Bible every day is so easy when you always have it with you. You won't even need a backpack. You can carry one right in your pocket. What are you waiting for?
I am a youth leader at my church. I've just started to go into the kids' homes and tell them about the gospel. I feel that giving them the precious gift of the gospel in a pocket testament will get them fired up for God's Word.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would just make this your project, you could change the country.
Learn more about the Federal Common Core and PA Core standards and call your representatives today and ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to knowpacommoncore.com or call Richard at 484-678-2236. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, you just heard a great interview with Anna Hartman, who, of course, is working with the Kleins out there in Oregon. And Dave Kistler and I were talking off mic how that this young lady, she's in her, what, late 20s, early 30s area, how she is really right on target with this case out there. And she has a great future because there's no doubt she's got national media attention upon her right now. And we need to pray for her that the Lord would protect her and guard her and use her for His glory in this case as well as other similar cases.
Well, Gary, I couldn't agree with you more. She's got a brilliant legal career in front of her, and what is more impressive than her legal and academic credentials and her ability is her commitment to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So when you have all of that together in one individual, that is that's a promising future. But yes, we do need to pray for her. And Gary, I want to say this, for those that maybe are younger or parents that have children that are approaching their teenage years, getting ready to go to college, consider challenging your young people for a legal career representing Christian values, because Gary, we're going to have more of these kind of cases in the days ahead, not less. And so we need more Anna Harmons out there. She's blazing a little bit of a trail. We need more to follow her lead.
We do. And, you know, I've often encouraged young people, actually parents, to encourage young people as well, to consider the ministry. And I say this to young people consistently. Consider going into the ministry, asking God if He wants you to be a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or whatever the case may be. But if God doesn't call you into that, consider going into law, media, going into government, or going into education, because we need good, solid, conservative Christians in all four of those areas.
Yes, we do, Gary. And I'll just take this opportunity to recommend a great book called Roaring Lambs, A Gentle Plan to Radically Change Your World. That book talks about those five venues that you just mentioned, and maybe one or two other, and how Christians can successfully retake that ground for the glory of God.
And it needs to be done. Well, we're going to revert back again to the debates tonight. And Sam, I'm going to ask you a question because you are our political expert, our governmental expert, and you probably know more about these things than what I know, and I was going to say what Dave and I put together know, and that may be true. But tonight is a very, very crucial debate. You know, it has the potential to be confusing. And, of course, you know, with 10 people on there, and, of course, we know that Donald Trump is already predominant in this entire process so far. Along with that, you've got those who are a part of the lower tier who will be in a forum at about 5 o'clock tonight. Actually, at 5 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time on the Fox News Channel. And we do want our people to watch it. But my question to you, Sam, is what really is significant about this debate tonight? How can we as citizens prepare ourselves for this debate? We're not in front of the camera. We're not on the platform. But how can we prepare ourselves, and what should we be looking for in this debate? Whether it's the 5 o'clock venue we watch or the 9 o'clock venue or both of them, give us some guidelines on this, Sam, please.
Well, Gary, there are a couple of things. One, first of all, don't set the expectations too high. And I'm going to say that first of all, again, because we've talked about it, because you're not going to end up finding too much about any one of these individuals simply because there are too many to have any kind of substantive time. So you're going to be looking for very, very almost soundbite type answers. That's always dangerous. So you have to, I mean, what that does is that tends to make the candidates compress what they're going to say. They have to leave out a lot. Sometimes they can say the wrong words. Accidentally, some things can come out that ends up being picked up on by the press because you don't have the fuller context. So these are actually kind of dangerous times in some respects for candidates, particularly if you have a hungry media who's looking to distort your words. So the candidates know this. The news, the folks that are asking the questions, they know it too. And so I say, look for that. Don't set expectations too high. Number one. Number two, I listen for the type of questions that are asked. Because if they don't ask substantive questions, then it's hard to give a real substantive answer. Although, the candidates always have the ability to take and rephrase the question. And I think you're going to see that a lot. You'll see people rephrasing the question, perhaps, that's asked, so that, in fact, you can position it the way you want to position it. That's not bad, frankly. That's oftentimes a very good thing. However, if they just refuse to answer the question, I look for that too. If it's a good question and they refuse to answer it, that tells me something about the candidate. They either don't know, they're afraid to say, or whatever. So directness of answer is something that I'm going to be looking for also from all of the candidates. And my guess is they're probably going to try and do some I don't know if they're going to do any gotcha-type questions. I would think so under this kind of broad scrutiny, nationally broadcast thing. But I look for those kinds of things, Gary, because there's a lot of factors that go into it and that can make it really move one direction or another. I'm also going to look for attitudes toward candidates. If they poke at each other, if they take the precious little time that they have to poke at another candidate, I never think highly of that one who's doing it. I don't want them to take and attack somebody else, but that's the tendency. So I'm going to look for that. Look for attitudes as they come through. So I'm trying to answer your question in a number of ways, but there's a lot of things that go into these events that one has to observe from a lot of different perspectives as you read into it.
Sam, let me ask you a question. I know as a person who participated in a lot of high school sports, football, basketball, so on, I always had a pregame ritual. Well, I've not done a political debate before, but I know you have. What are these guys doing right now, today? I don't mean the specifics of where they are and that kind of thing, but mentally, what are they doing as far as their pre-debate ritual to get ready for tonight's, what could be a make-or-break event for them?
Well, I think it's going to depend on the individual.
Donald Trump's probably golfing somewhere.
Well, I don't know. But I tell you, these are times that sometimes make candidates sweat. Mm-hmm. You remember when Nixon debated Kennedy years ago? He was sweating on the screen. And that's
that
part, like people say, he lost. He was nervous.
He was sick.
He was sick. So some are sweating it out right now. Mm-hmm. Some are trying, perhaps at the last minute, trying to crash course and having their handlers around them, walking them through, asking the question any number of ways that they can figure, trying to rehearse their answers. But I do think that there are some that are there saying, you know what, I'm not going to do about that. I mean, I don't think Trump's going to be spending his time worrying about what it is. He's just going to come off of it. On the 5 o'clock side, Santorum's one of them. Mm-hmm. I know that Rick didn't spend a lot of time at all practicing. He just went right from the cuff as well. So that's one of those two sides, Dave.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we do want to encourage you to watch the debate. Both the one at 5 o'clock, if you can, as well as the one at 9 o'clock tonight, Eastern Time on Fox. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, we will have a panel here of four individuals who will be discussing the debate. So, you might want to join us. And, of course, we'll have the phone lines open as well in the event that you want to make a call and be a part of the program. So, until tomorrow, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up. And remember, the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day.
we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4, 1801.